This is usually the hour when we have a debate on an issue facing the state or nation, and we ask you to weigh in on our big question. But since this is the New Year's Day holiday, we decided to do something a little bit different today. We want you to make a New Year's resolution for an elected leader or a government institution. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, January 1st, and a very happy New Year to you. What do you think Congress or an individual member of Congress should resolve to do this year? What should President Obama try to accomplish in 2014? What do you think he needs to do to improve his job performance ratings? How about Governor Walker or our state legislature? What changes would you like to see for Wisconsin in 2014? So this is really wide open. We only ask that you be civil, and you can certainly be critical, but make it constructive. You can also be hopeful and funny and silly and serious. Make a New Year's resolution for any politician or any government entity. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Very happy to have with us Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Good morning, Mordecai, and Happy New Year.
Good morning, Joy. Happy New Year.
So you served in the State Assembly and the State Senate. What did New Year's mean to you as a lawmaker? Did you ever think about how to make it a better year for lawmaking, or was that something that was on your mind all year round?
Well, I think the most important point to convey that I remember from those years is that when I'd wake up on New Year's Day, it would be, am I in an odd-numbered year or an even-numbered year? And that really makes a whole world of difference to people in politics, especially people with two-year terms, because the odd-numbered year, I suppose you could call it the governance year or the policy-making year, whereas the even-numbered year is the year you run for re-election or your colleagues are running for re-election. And that totally changes sort of the nature of how people interact. And for example, in Madison, it totally changes the sessions of the state legislature. I think your listeners will remember that in odd-numbered years, a governor submits a budget, and the legislature spends the first 6 months of the odd-numbered year debating a budget. It's a huge document. It's a very important decision. Whereas in the even-numbered year, legislative sessions are much briefer. There's no budget. There's no sort of major must-do kind of legislation. And they generally finish by around May or June with a veto review session and then adjourn for the rest of the year to go home and run for re-election. And so you can imagine that totally that creates a very different pace of the year, a very different kind of year.
That is fascinating. It's 2014. It's an even numbered year, and what are we going to see this year in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, in state government, what we're going to be seeing is some very brief floor sessions between now and May. I looked at the schedule the other day, and they're relatively brief. It's sort of like a week or two here, a week or two there, but it'll be things winding down. At the same time that some legislators are getting more and more pressured, even hysterical, about if my bill doesn't pass by the last floor session, it's dead, and it goes back to square one for next January. And so it becomes a very stress-filled kind of process. And then around May or June, when they adjourn, will be dominated not by policy news, but instead by political news. Who's running for re-election? Who's not running for re-election? Who has a primary? Who doesn't have a primary? It's going to be a fascinating year, but so much different than what 2013 was.
Is it the same type of thing in Washington, D.C., with our federal lawmakers?
Yes, except it's sort of cubed and squared, in the sense that everything is so much more intense and just so much more. For example, Congress has longer floor sessions, even in an even-numbered year. They generally adjourn for the summer and early fall, but there's often what's called a lame duck session after the November election. That's very rare in Wisconsin for a governor to call a lame duck session, because these are the people who are perhaps were defeated for re-election or are retiring. So So generally speaking, Congress meets more often and for longer session, but it still is the same cycle, and it very much is still that sort of underlying political atmosphere.
Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, maybe we can start with some national stuff, but we'll talk about state stuff as well. With all the gridlock and government shutdown of the past year, a bipartisan budget deal was reached, which will avert another shutdown, at least for a couple of years. Is there hope as we start 2014 that Republicans and Democrats can work together, or should we not get too excited?
My guess is, and it'll be interesting to hear from your listeners what their sense of it being. By the way, I was so delighted to hear that there are listeners on New Year's morning, this early in the morning. I listened to your previous hour, and it was full of callers.
Yeah, that's right. We're not all partying. Maybe they didn't go to bed yet, Mordecai. I don't know.
That's right. They're preparing for their polar plunge or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
I think and fear that what happened at the end of the year when Congressman Ryan participated in co-chairing that compromise, that's more the exception than the rule. And I was glad you said that we'll have peace in terms of just passing a budget. In other words, they've got the framework down. But we have to remember that what comes after a budget are what are called appropriations bills that are the actual funding of the government. There tend to be, I believe it's a dozen or 13 appropriations bills for the different departments. So there's a chance that there'll be big fights over appropriations bills, which means they're then going to have to revert back to what are called CRs, continuing resolutions. The other thing that I think we should keep in mind is that while the budget came up with a compromise, they didn't do anything on the debt ceiling. And I think your listeners remember the big fight about default and how important it is whether to have a default in principle or to avoid a default. If I recall correctly, a default is coming up in about 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is whether Congress will follow the pattern it did with the budget, in other words, do a compromise, or whether there will be a default. Already the signs are that Speaker Boehner is going to insist on spending cuts, significant, serious spending cuts, as the sort of counterpart to him agreeing to have them vote on not defaulting, whereas President Obama has said that he will not negotiate on a default. It's not a negotiable item. So I'm afraid this spring, might be a little bit more of the same.
We are talking with Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, a former state lawmaker, talking about 2014 for the state of Wisconsin and for Washington, D.C. And we are asking you if you have a New Year's wish or resolution for any politician. Maybe it's for the House of Representatives. Maybe it's for the Senate or Congress as a whole. How about President Obama, Joe Biden, John Boehner, Harry Reid? What about Governor Walker or Mary Burke? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Your opportunity to make a New Year's resolution for any state or national politician or any government entity. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is a way for us to get to your hopes for the coming year, what you want from your government. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
My New Year's resolution is to be nicer to the White House press corps. You know? Absolutely.
That was President Obama joking that his resolution is to be nicer to the press. We are talking about New Year's resolutions for our elected officials, including President Obama. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What would be the New Year's resolution that you would make for President Obama or make for Governor Walker or any elected official? We are talking about these New Year's resolutions and our hopes for politics in the coming year with Mordecai Lee, who is a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Yeah, the president was joking about that, but he's there was some news stories about how he was being mean to the press, and maybe the press was being mean to him. What about talk a little bit about President Obama? He has seen his job performance ratings tumble in the past few months. What's happening there, and what does he need to do to turn things around?
Well, generally speaking, there tends to be an adversarial relationship between the White House press and the White House. And it's sort of built into journalism that one is sort of skeptical and one is questioning. I'm afraid that sort of over the years, the concept of adversarial coverage has turned into much more hostile, antagonistic, almost trying to top one another with the most outrageous kind of question. So generally speaking, reporters don't like presidents or politicians, and politicians don't like reporters. It's really built into the relationship. I think if, Joy, I could be permitted to kick off with my New Year's resolutions for politicians.
Okay.
Along those lines, I'd say that I have two resolutions for all politicians in all parties. My first hope is that we could stick to rationality. I think that so much of what happens in politics nowadays is sort of knee-jerk partisanship, knee-jerk ideology, knee-jerk hostility. I just finished in the last semester co-teaching a course here at UWM on policy analysis with Professor Sam White. And really what we were trying to teach the students is how to find the facts, how to look at the facts, how to accumulate the facts, and then how to evaluate the facts. And so I guess you'd expect of a professor to say that he hopes that politicians and I guess society in general, that we'd stick to rationality. We make decisions based on data, based on performance, based on known facts. My other resolution for politicians is to have a single standard in decision making. In other words, avoid a double standard. If you're in Washington and if a Republican president proposed something and you voted for it, then when a Democratic president proposes the exact same thing, I'd like to see you vote for it. In other words, I don't want to see a situation where people are changing their position simply based on what the other, who is it who's proposing it. One of the reasons I think we in Wisconsin and generally Americans, we really hate politicians is because of that double standards. In other words, if a Democrat does it, it's good to a Democrat. If a Republican does it, then it's bad to a Democrat. In my opinion, if somebody does it and you liked it once, you should like it again, even if somebody from the other party is proposing it.
Yeah. Too often, Mordecai, politicians might propose something or vote for something based purely on political reasons and not whether there's rationality or whether this is something that that they believe in. They do it for votes?
Well, for example, I'll use a partisan example, but one can use it in both situations. When President George W. Bush proposed lifting the debt ceiling, most Republicans voted for it and didn't make a big deal about it. And conversely, most Democrats voted against it, including then-Senator Obama. Now you've got a Democratic president proposing lifting the debt ceiling, and the positions are flipped. Democrats are inclined to be for it, and Republicans are inclined to be against it. Now, that strikes me as not just a double standard, but utterly irrational, because if you thought that increasing the debt ceiling was a bad idea under, let's say, a Republican, then it's a bad idea under a Democrat. It shouldn't matter. And that's what I think really bothers me about politics. I guess you'd expect of a professor that I'm substance-oriented, I'm consistency-oriented. If based on the facts something was a good idea, and if the facts haven't changed, it's still a good idea.
Excellent resolutions. Thanks for kicking us off here. And we have full lines, Mordecai. The partiers are out. So, Mary in Marshfield is with us. Happy New Year, Mary.
Happy New Year.
What's your resolution for a politician?
Well, whether it's gonna help or not, I don't know. But I believe that everybody has to work together. All whether it's Democrat, whether it's Republican, and also the president. There is no I in team. It's T-E-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
And if Obama thinks, well, he can take all these trips and da 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 da, and you know, waste the money and cut budgets and all this other kind of stuff for his pleasure, he's got another thing coming. I mean,
well, Mary, thanks very much. I'm not sure he's doing any cuts to for his pleasure, but work together as a team, Congress and the president, everybody. What stops that from happening, Mordecai?
Well, I think the nature of our times has really added an exaggerated sense of partisanship. But we have to remember that there's always been partisanship in American history. You know, there were the Jeffersonians versus the Adamses, which was based on their perceptions of the role of government. And so I really liked when Mary used the word team, but I'll use it in the opposite sense, that government, sort of just like life, is based on teams. And people who are Republicans see the world through a series of values that are very different than people who are Democrats. And they really see different dynamics, for example, happening in how they impose taxes or in stimulating the economy. And so I think my point is that there are two teams in Washington. There are the Democrats and the Republicans. And just like we're used to rooting for the Green Bay Packers, well, there are people right across the river in, say, Minnesota, who are equally rooting for the Vikings. And so to accept that there are teams who are in conflict is, I think, okay about politics. It's okay to debate the merits of an idea and see which idea survives, really, scrutiny and policy analysis. But where I'd end up is sort of where Mary is, and that's that I think compromise is okay. The big problem with contemporary politics is that they've been viewing the word compromise as a dirty word, as a bad thing, that they've essentially been saying no loaf is better than half a loaf, and that's an irrationality that I don't understand. So along with Mary, I do hope we see a lot more compromise happening in Washington along the lines of what happened with Congressman Ryan.
Michael on Facebook says, "For all politicians, I resolve to do my job and work with the other party to make this world a better place. I will place the future above both monetary and political profit. I will strive to be a good role model for the youth." How about that one?
Wow, that's a fantastic resolution, and I fear a tad optimistic. but to get to the heart of it, I think what Michael is saying is that if Democrats believe in X and Republicans believe in Y, can Democrats and Republicans find an area of overlap? In other words, where they both move towards goals that they believe in. And that is possible, and there have been eras in American history when there was much more cooperation than there is now. And so I think the realistic element of Michael's resolution is, can they actually just talk to each other and listen to each other and seek common ground? That would be really fabulous. So I'm glad he had that one.
Dan in Drummond is with us. Hello, Dan.
Hello. My resolution would be for Governor Walker, and that is not to take money from out of state, but to take it from in-state.
All right. Well, reaction to that is that the out-of-state money is a... Do you think people care about that, Mordecai?
Well, I think one of the talking points that comes from Democrats against Governor Walker is that too much of his money is coming from out-of-state, and therefore, by implication, too many of his views are somehow influenced by people who aren't Wisconsinites. I think that's something of a misleading argument. There's nothing wrong with taking outside money, and certainly Democrats have taken outside money. Democratic governors have taken outside money. But similarly, it's okay to raise it. But remember that if one wants to make the argument that a governor is influenced by outside money, you can't just insinuate it. You have to prove it. You have to make the point that if a governor is taking position X, he wouldn't be taking that position if he weren't getting outside money. I really don't see that. And plus, I'm sure that everybody believes in freedom of speech. And whether we like it or not, you know, the legal definition of money is the money is speech. So I can understand his suggestion, Dan's suggestion. The only way to get to that is really through full public financing of elections. In other words, that we as Wisconsin taxpayers fully finance all campaigns of all parties to all offices. And I guess that would be my third resolution, but I think that won't ever happen.
Talking with Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, talking about New Year's resolutions for our government, for politicians. What resolution would you make for an elected official like Governor Walker or President Obama, or Congress as a whole, or the state legislature as a whole? What is your political wish for 2014? What would you like to see accomplished this year? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are going to check news, and then we'll be back. After 8, by the way, we are going to get some inspiration to start the new year with the authors of The 52 Weeks. Try something new every week for this year. We'll talk more about that after 8 o'clock. So what are your New Year's resolutions for our elected officials in Washington and here in Madison? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, January 1st, 2014. Talking this hour with Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker, and we are welcoming your political wishes for the coming year. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The Republican Party, the Republican National Committee, issued New Year's resolutions for President Obama this week, Mordecai. And let me just read a couple of them. The Republican Party again saying these should be President Obama's New Year's resolutions. I resolve to admit you won't be able to keep your plan or your doctor. I resolve to hold myself and Hillary accountable for Benghazi. I resolve to pretend I'm listening to Joe Biden at our weekly lunches. I resolve not to lie to the American people. I resolve to spend less time on the golf course. I resolve to help healthcare.gov lose the weight. What's your reaction to that?
Only mildly amusing, I guess. And I think it's a sign of the times that we've sort of lost our sense of humor, and we've lost our respect for people in office, whether we're talking about members of Congress or we're talking about residents of the White House. For one party to say another president is a liar and should stop lying, that really hurts my patriotism. I don't think Republicans should say that about a Democratic president, and Democrats shouldn't say it about a Republican president. It's an indication of how hot the rhetoric has gotten over the years, how less respect we have for offices, and how far to the extremes parties are willing to go for sort of purple rhetoric and hyperbole. So I guess it makes me sad comparing that list to the list from the hour before. The list from the hour before is funny and poignant. This list is sort of sad. And I'd like to say to the guys at the RNC, hey, just take a day off. Just show a sense of humor for one day.
Yeah. Let's take some other calls. Clint in Superior is with us. Hello, Clint.
Hi. Hi. Happy New Year. Nice listening to you there, Professor.
Hi.
I just want to say that I'm backing the 1,500 architects, and I believe that there should be an investigation on the investigation for 9/11. I think that there should be everybody in the government, Senate, Congress, President, it should be their top priority to reopen the investigation, to reopen 9/11.
All right, Clint, thanks. I wanted to let you have your resolution. I don't know, Mordecai, what's your reaction to that? That's not likely to happen, is it?
I don't think it's likely to happen. There's always been groups of Americans who just don't believe in things that 99% of the rest of the country believe in. And this is an example that somehow the U.S. government was involved in 9/11. And I think that's just so unlikely. And I saw a documentary about it, and I didn't think it was a sort of an open and shut case in terms of the conspiracy. But I like the fact that Clint called to say it. I like the fact, Joy, that on Wisconsin Public Radio these views are aired. And so I guess we need to accept that this is part of the sort of vitality of American democracy.
Let's see. We have this is interesting. Roberta emails. I would like to I would like to have all politicians take a poverty simulation course sponsored by their county UW Extension office. I didn't even know that. I don't know if those types of courses exist, but maybe they do. But I guess she wants politicians to experience how many people live.
I think that's a really interesting resolution. And to sort of generalize from Roberta's email, in other words, for when politicians decide I'm for this, I'm against this, I think this is a good idea, I think this is a bad idea, that first they should put themselves in the other person's shoes. You know, there's the phrase about walking a mile in somebody else's shoes. And in her case, she's saying, what if, for example, they had to try to live on food stamps for a week? I think that's sort of interesting. In other words, let politicians see the other side of the story. And I'd say that not just about political parties that are, let's say, more sympathetic or less sympathetic to food stamps. I'd say that about other things. To try to understand the world of the entrepreneur, the world of the small business person. How do things look to them in terms of, let's say, taxes and government regulations? I think it's great to experience how the world looks to the other person.
Yeah. Let's go next to Jess in Owen. Hello, Jess. Happy New Year.
Hi. Happy New Year. My question, or my New Year's resolution, is where is God in the decision-making with the government of the politics, Democrats, Republicans, and the president? Or is it a void or Chad ballot?
Well, she hung up, but isn't religion more involved in decision-making or policy-making?
Well, I have to say that based on my experience in the state legislature, religion was very much part of how politicians made decisions, because religion is where people get their values, and being raised in one denomination leads to certain values that are very different from being raised in another denomination or another religion. And so if it makes her feel any better, I'd like to assure her that I think people's view of religious values and God is very much part of the decision-making. Now, we also, of course, have to talk about separation of church and state and not having an established religion where we prefer one religion over another. But still, it's certainly great to include religious values as part of the values in decision-making.
Thanks, Jess, for the call. You know, I'm not really making a resolution for any politicians. I shouldn't do that. But I want to thank the Madison snowplow drivers for keeping the roads clear. And I hope you resolve to continue to do that as this winter goes along. We're gonna check weather, and we will take more of your calls in just a moment. We are talking with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, a former state lawmaker. We are making New Year's resolutions for our elected officials. So what is your New Year's resolution for any politician? Maybe it's President Obama. Maybe it's Governor Walker. Maybe it's Congress as a whole. Maybe it's the state legislature as a whole. Are you hopeful that 2014 will be a better year politically than 2013? What do you want accomplished in this New Year? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are welcoming your New Year's resolutions for politicians, for Washington, or for Madison. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mark on Facebook says the president needs to stop using executive orders to circumvent the Constitution, and he needs to apologize for misleading the American people about Obamacare. He goes on, but what about those two resolutions, Mordecai?
Well, I think we traditionally in modern times have seen presidents pushing their executive powers to the limit. And this has been both by Democratic presidents and Republican presidents. For example, when there were signing ceremonies by President Bush, and he'd say, well, I'm not going to recognize certain parts of the law that I'm signing into law. That's been a really bad tendency by Democratic and Republican presidents over the last 15 or 20 years. But I'd like to assure Mark that you can't have an executive order that violates the Constitution. You can only go up to and through the legal and constitutional powers of the executive. And so if this president or a president of the other party were to sign an executive order that would violate a law or the Constitution, it would be struck down. And, Joy, can I just go back to your own resolution about appreciating the Madison snowplow driver?
Yes.
I think that was just a wonderful comment, that so often when we talk about public affairs, we talk about politicians. But I loved your comment that you're recognizing the public servants who work for us, mm-hmm. The ones who get up early in the morning to plow your driveway or to pick up the garbage in bad weather or to deliver the mail. And so I'd sort of like to do a kind of a resolution of appreciation to all public servants. I'm sure there are some bad apples, but generally speaking, we in America are fortunate to have people who get up in the morning and put in a hard day's work, earn their pay, and that we should appreciate them. So I thought that was a fantastic resolution.
Well, and I do truly appreciate that with the early morning and all the snow we've been getting recently. I did want to follow up on Mark's resolution, though, that he wants the president to apologize over the Obamacare problems and for misleading, he says, the people on this. How do you see, Mordecai, this the Affordable Care Act implementation working this year? I mean, do you see, are the problems behind us? What do you think is going to happen this year when it comes to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think the problems will continue in the sense of that implementing laws, especially new laws, especially major new programs, is always difficult. As citizens, we pay a lot of attention to the decision. In other words, Congress fighting about something, the state legislature fighting about something. But for some reason, we have a short attention span to public administration, to the actual implementation of laws. So I think that problems will continue, as one would expect. You can't have perfection in the implementation of complicated programs. Just like sometimes corporations stumble when they have, let's say, a new car. Everybody remembers the Edsel. You know, things aren't always perfect in implementation. But I do think that there is a learning curve within government, within public service, by civil servants, and that gradually the problems will go down. And so I'm guessing that by the time we get to the November election, people who are generally Democrats will come to the conclusion that by November of 2014 that things are getting better with the implementation of the law and that the law is a good thing. And that Republicans will say the opposite, that things are getting worse and it's a terrible law and it ought to be repealed.
John in West Bend is with us. Hello, John.
Good morning. The end to state-legislated union busting, the defeat of Scott Walker, and the striking down of Act 10.
All right, that's his those are his political wishes for 2014. Well, it is an election year, and we do have a gubernatorial election in Wisconsin between Governor Scott Walker. Presumably, he will run again. He said, "Don't bet money against that." And we do have one announced Democratic candidate, Mary Burke. It's possible that State Senator Kathleen Vinehout will also enter the race for the Democratic nomination for governor. I'm wondering if you just have any analysis of this race, Mordecai. Do you suspect that this might get ugly, or what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think John is reminding us of how powerful the impact of Act 10 was, whether one liked it or one didn't like it, and that as a result of that, Governor Walker has a strong chunk of Wisconsinites who like him, and there's a strong chunk of Wisconsinites who don't like him and want to vote against him. And the reason that I think the November election will be interesting is because it's slightly different than the recall election. Governor Walker decisively won the recall election and was retained in office, the first governor ever to survive a recall election. But there was an interesting layer of voters in that election. There was a small layer of voters, about 4 or 5%, who said they didn't necessarily agree with Act 10, but they did not think that a governor deserved to be recalled for that issue. And so they voted to retain Governor Walker. So I think that it's going to be a competitive election in November. I think that whoever the Democratic nominee is going to be starting with, let's say, about 40, 45, 46% of the vote. Governor Walker is going to be starting probably with a little bit more. But that layer of voters who said they just didn't think he should be recalled, they're the ones at play. And so people like John on one side, people on the other side, this will be a real election, and it will be about Act 10 as well as the rest of the record of an incumbent.
Well, here's a New Year's resolution for Mary Burke from the state Republican Party. So the Republican Party is issuing New Year's resolutions for Democrats. I didn't see Democrats issuing any New Year's resolutions for Republicans, but maybe they're out there. But the resolution that the state Democrat or state Republican Party makes for Mary Burke: as we enter 2014, we hope that millionaire Mary Burke's New Year's resolution will be to tell Wisconsin voters where she stands on the major issues in the race for governor. Mary Burke has gone nearly 3 months without telling us where she stands on job creation, tax relief, and Obamacare, among other things. And it goes on. What do you make of this resolution from the Republican Party to Mary Burke?
Well, once again, as I said about the RNC, and I would say it similarly about the DNC, that I think for one day a year, can we have a little less of the spin talk, a little less of the talking points, and just a little bit of a sense of humor, some lightheartedness. And it's a shame, I think, to use New Year's resolutions for just partisan bashing. But to get to the substance of it, I think this is an indication that the Republican Party is going all out against Mary Burke on one issue, that she's a millionaire, on another issue, that she has not taken positions on issues. I think both those issues will be resolved during the year. I think she'll start issuing position papers, just like I'm sure that Governor Walker will be issuing position papers on what he wants to do if he were elected to a second term. So I think eventually, by the time we get to November, both candidates will sort of be well into explaining what they believe in and what they would do if they were elected. And maybe we should just go for a resolution of let's just sort of be a little bit nicer to each other. Can we see partisan attacks that are based on substance, based on policies? And that goes back to my call for just rationality in politics.
Larry in Middleton is with us. Hello, Larry.
Thank you. Well, the Republican legislature turned down $23 million federal grant to expand high-speed internet access to northern and western and central Wisconsin, where they are far behind and could use that to bolster their educational institutions as well as small businesses that might need it. Tom Still says that Wisconsin ranks below average among the 50 states when it comes to high-speed internet access. The idea for the grant was that the private sector wouldn't find it profitable to put high-speed access into those areas, and so we should have taken the grant. Governor Walker's office, as far as I know, is silent on the issue, so evidently went along with the legislature's sending the money back to the feds.
All right. Any thoughts on that, Mordecai?
Well, I think this is an excellent example of how complicated public policy can get. Because if I recall correctly, above and beyond what Larry mentioned, is that the University of Wisconsin was either directly or indirectly involved in possibly providing that service. And so this became a sort of an issue in principle. There were two principles at hand. One was Republicans did not believe that this is the proper role of government, that it should be the role of the private sector. And the other one was that Republicans said that just because you're getting money from the federal government, that doesn't make it free money. It's still taxpayer money. So I think it was an interesting issue. I didn't think the issue was well joined in the sense of that we had a really good, clear understanding of both sides of the issue. But Larry is right. The legislature put a ban on it in the state budget. The governor permitted it to go into law, and sort of that's that.
We have Zach in Milwaukee says he wants all politicians to take a resolution, make a resolution, to kick lobbyists out and listen to the people. Quick reaction to that.
Yes, we do want politicians to think for themselves, but I think it's true that lobbyists do convey legitimate views of legitimate clusters of populations, whether we're talking about clusters on the left or clusters on the right. But ultimately, I think we the point is more general, and that's that we have to understand that legislators are not sort of judges who weigh their emails. Well, I got 10 on one side and 8 on the other side, and that's what public opinion is. But I think we want legislators to more affirmatively and proactively decide what they think is in the public interest, and in that respect, to rise above lobbying. So I think that's a wonderful resolution in that respect.
Betty in Milwaukee. Hi, Betty. What's your resolution?
That starting from local government all the way up to the presidential government or the federal government, why can't they all respect each other enough to look at the big picture and do what's best for all the people, especially when you have so many poor people, and don't look at them, they look at the poor people as dirt, and just respect each other.
Well, I think that's a nice way to end it. Politicians should respect each other and, I don't know, others more.
That's a fantastic resolution. We've come to the point nowadays where members of one party see their colleagues from the other party as the enemy, as literally the demon. When I was in the legislature, people of the other party were people who perhaps had different views, but they weren't the enemy. They weren't evil. And if I had one last resolution to add to the list along the lines of what Betty was saying, I'd say that we should have pairs of legislators go out for dinner in Madison, one Democrat paired with one Republican, go to a white tablecloth dinner and talk about anything but politics. Get to know each other. Get to realize that the other person has similarly sincere concerns, and I think that'd be a wonderful way to improve the toxic atmosphere of the state capitol.
What a great idea. I think we have a new project, Mordecai. Thank you so much for being with us, and Happy New Year to you.
You're welcome. Thank you, John.
Mordecai Lee is a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, a former state lawmaker. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. This is the Ideas Network.